Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. Hello, and welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is Todd Perry. Thanks for joining us for this week's podcast. We're joined by an exceptional environmental professional, fellow co-founder of PPM Consultants, a fantastic friend, Mike McCowan. Good morning to you. So glad you could join us here on the podcast.
Glad to be here, Todd. This is the first time I've done this with you, so I look forward to having a chat with you this morning.
So we're out there, and we've got the first few episodes produced. We're getting good feedback, and people are really liking these right before bedtime for some reason. I'm not quite sure what that means.
Well, I'm sure I can add to that today, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, we want to keep our audience, you know, really encouraged what we're doing. We got a really cool topic today. Today, we're going to talk about due diligence, and that's a really big topic, a lot of things to cover, and we'll build on the series as we go along with the podcast. This will be great for buyers and sellers, attorneys, commercial real estate professionals. Mike, we're going to launch right into it. When you think about purchasing commercial real estate, why do buyers or lenders want environmental due diligence done before you actually purchase a piece of property?
Yeah, well, I guess the thing is, if you look at it, any kind of commercial real estate purchase or a lender putting a loan in place for a purchase of real estate, there's always due diligence has to be done. You know, you want to make sure that there are no tax liens on the property, the survey boundaries are correct, there's no other, you know, utilities are available, there's a clear title, all these kinds of things. Well, environmental due diligence is just another part of that that's been added to it. And the reason it exists is, you know, in the old days, pre-73, there were no really environmental rules or regulations. People could do what they wanted to. And so you had industry out there, your corner gas station, mechanic shops, auto body shops, you know, chemical suppliers, crop dusting outfits. There were no rules or regulations about what to do with the chemicals they use in those processes or the waste they generated. So a lot of times it would be buried out back or it would leak into the ground. It wasn't criminal activity at the time. There's no rules regulating that. And so what's happened from all those historical uses, this stuff gets in the soil and the groundwater, causes contamination problems. And it can be very expensive to clean up. It can move offsite onto someone else's property and create liabilities, or it can actually bring your property value down to where nobody wants to buy it because they see the property is impacted. It stigmatizes it. So, you know, making sure that you know what you're buying from an environmental standpoint is very important, just like having a clear title is to it. And, you know, one of the things that happened on this too is in the old days, it wasn't clear what environmental due diligence entailed and who would be responsible for it. You know, somebody buys a piece of property and says, hey, I didn't contaminate it. Why should I be held responsible for it? So now over the last 30 or 40 years, there's been a lot of case law, a lot of precedent set on who's responsible and those kinds of things, which is probably a whole nother discussion. But environmental risks are real, and people need to understand that when they buy a piece of property, first of all, you don't want to buy a dog that's going to cost you more to clean it up than it did to actually buy it. You don't want to get sued by a neighbor for having contamination running off your property onto their property. And you don't want to buy, you know, something that you can't resell, you know, down the road because of the stigma attached to it.
Mike, and that's a fantastic point. And, you know, due diligence, and maybe people traditionally think about, as you point out, you know, making sure you have a clean title, making sure there's no tax liens against it. That certainly is due diligence. Survey, making sure that the property is not, you know, the lines aren't correct. And you're actually expecting to purchase a piece of property that belongs to, part of it belongs to someone else. But it's the environmental due diligence. And there's a lot of horror stories where someone's acquired a piece of property or facility, had great plans and aspirations for it. And then also they run into, you know, methyl ethyl death, just kind of making up something. But again, it can be very serious. So now we're aware of these environmental risks. When I'm looking at making an acquisition as a purchaser, how how would the environmental due diligence be conducted?
Yeah. And so what happens there is there are EPA rules in place now that basically say it's a buyer beware rule. And it says that you as a buyer of commercial real estate, or if you're in a situation of a lender, if you'll take all appropriate inquiry into prior use of the property, then you may not be held liable for any environmental contamination found at the property after you acquire it. And so that language has been around for quite a while. In the old days, I mean, I've been in the business for 30 years. In the old days, everybody did it a little bit differently. There was no strict definition of what all appropriate inquiry included. And there was always basic elements to it, such as, of course, walking the property and looking for evidence of contamination, stressed vegetation to where plants aren't growing, you know, stains, odors, these kinds of things, something bubbling about out of the ground or out of the concrete. That's a big part of it. But also it includes looking at all the historical records that have associated with the property. You know, a lot of the states and counties and at the federal level have a lot of records that there's ever been spills reported or cleanup conducted, fines issued for environmental noncompliance. So all that being reviewed as a part of it, interviewing people who used to work there, people who used to own it. The retired guy across the street sitting in his rocking chair who's watched what's going on that property for 30 years and knows things about it. All those elements were common, but didn't really crystallize until the EPA finally came out and clarified that and basically codified that, said this is what all appropriate inquiry includes. And so now all the engineering and environmental consulting firms have really coalesced around that. And there's a group called ASTM. It's the American Society of Testing Materials. This is a group of volunteers that makes this up, that sets industry standards from everything on, you know, how thick could your concrete be on a bridge to how thick should the steel be on a grill. You know, it goes all across the board to help protect and increase the quality of what's going on. And so ASTM came up with a standard for an environmental due diligence. And this goes in phases, basically what's called a phase one environmental site assessment. This is the first step. And this is going out there and kicking the tires, walking the property, doing the interviews, the things I just mentioned there to see and putting it into a report. And that's the first step. And what you're looking for is what's called a recognized environmental condition, which is basically evidence of some type of petroleum product or hazardous substance that's in the property, on the property. Could be in a drum, could be in a tank, could be bubbling out of the ground. Could be, you know, just a myriad of things, at the property, and you're looking for those, you identify it. And then if there is a problem, you may have to come in and do additional phases of work, phase two, phase three, to come in and actually test it and see if it's really an issue at the property. So that's the basic process of it. Phase one, phase two type process based on level of complexity and what you find as you begin to peel the layers off of it.
Well, Mike, you got our listeners' attention because we're talking about environmental due diligence. We're excited. We're going to expand our business. We're going to relocate. We're going to buy a piece of property. And we're doing our due diligence. We're checking out the basic things that you would check out, title, tax liens, et cetera. And now all of a sudden, I hear phase one, potentially a phase two, if something's found, a recognized environmental concern. During the phase one, I want to investigate it further into the phase two. A whole another world's opened up here. It's been around. It's been standardized, as you mentioned, with ASTM standards. So I know I need to prepare to do this with my acquisition. What would I budget? How much do phase ones and phase twos typically cost?
Yeah, that's kind of like almost asking somebody, how long is a string? I mean, the answer depends, right? So it really depends on the complexity of the property. Let's say you have a lot in, at the end of a residential street that's going commercial. It's never been really commercially developed. It's wooded, nothing going on there. It may be a very simple process to do a phase one environmental site assessment on that. Or you could have somebody buying an old defunct textile mill, an industrial facility. It could be an ongoing industrial facility, something that's been there for 50 years. It's a paper mill, and somebody's buying that. And the level of complexity of that is much, much different. But for most commercial transactions, you know, run-of-the-mill type stuff you see in our cities and our suburbs, you know, around $3,000 is a going price to get a phase one done. And we've done them as much as, you know, $20,000 on some of these more complex properties. You know, it's a much deeper pocket typically buyer on those, and they really want to know what risk they're taking on. So the level of inquiry is a lot deeper on that. But that'll give you an idea. Phase two changes a little bit. This is when you're actually going out and having to take samples. It may be with a drill rig. It could be just taking surface samples with a scoop. And those prices, all of the board, I guess, typically average what we see on a phase two is maybe in the $9,000 to $15,000 range to, you know, put 4 to 6 borings on a property and test the soil and groundwater for petroleum and hazardous substances.
So, you know, I'm a potential purchaser, and I want to think through budgeting environmental phase one. If it's a, you know, fairly small piece of property, a few thousand square foot office building, a couple of acres, a few thousand dollars is kind of a good planning budget. Again, you'll get quotes in. A lot of times your lenders can help you facilitate that. Or if you reach out to an environmental consulting firm, you bring those in. When you get into phase twos or larger tracts of land or bigger, you know, facilities, those prices increase because there's a lot more to look at, as you pointed out. But that'll give our listeners something to kind of budget through. So we know why we need to do it. We know what the potential risks are. We know the benefit of it, as you talked about, you know, protecting a purchaser from something that's not discovered during the phase one. Do you have to use, to conduct an environmental phase one, do you have to be licensed or certified to do this work?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's not quite like it is, like say on an appraisal. Most appraisals, you have to be a licensed appraiser to do that. If you're going to survey a property, you have to be a licensed surveyor. On the environmental side, there's really what they ask for an environmental professional be certified in firing the report. And there's definitions of that based on, they could be a professional engineer, professional geologist, some other type of scientists. Don't necessarily have to be professionally registered, but they do have to show at least a combination of experience and training. And you guys have to put your resume in the phase one report showing that you have that experience to qualify as an environmental professional. There are a few states out there that have a few certification programs. I haven't worked in those states personally. For the most part, it's really just having an experienced environmental professional who can meet that standard is all that's required.
Well, Mike, so I'm making an acquisition. I've got a phase one ordered. The environmental company, environmental professionals go out, they conduct the phase one, they find some recognized environmental concerns, they find some environmental issues during the phase one assessment. At that point, should the buyer and or lender, should they just walk away from the deal because those are a potential problem?
In the old days, that we saw that very common. People didn't want to touch a impacted or potentially impacted property with a 10-foot pole. Now that has really changed as people have got more sophisticated with legal teams, with environmental regulators working with buyers of real estate, because what they want to see is they don't want to, if you've got a property inside of an urban area or an industrial corridor and it's been abandoned or is no longer in productive use, nobody wants to see them go on the outskirts of town, knock down trees, and build a new facility when they can redevelop something that's already there. So, there's a lot more of this purchasing of these things going on. There's a lot of different strategies that may not require any kind of cleanup at all. It may just be long-term monitoring. It may just be proving that what's there is not going to hurt anybody. Nobody can ingest it, breathe it. It's not getting in the groundwater. There's basically no health risk associated with it. And there's all kinds of studies that can be done, and incentives out there. And a lot of different states now have incentives to encourage people to actually take some risk and purchase these types of properties. And also what's happened is it's been clarified about lenders on this. Used to, lenders were scared to death of it. And now there are a lot of programs in place and rules that says as long as they don't take control of the property from operating something that could contribute to contamination or to the cleanup of it, then they're like a clean hands person to the deal, then they don't get held liable for the cleanup. Now, you still may have diminution of property value coming down, but definitely, you know, if it's a good market location for a commercial development, don't let the environmental scare you away. Just do the proper due diligence, get the right firm on who can help you through all those different nuances, legal, financial, economic, regulatory, and figure out if it's going to work for your project.
Mike, fantastic. And after a 30-year career doing all sorts of environmental work and helping, you know, all kinds of deals go through, I think I've already got the idea for our next podcast, which would be environmental due diligence, dreams realized and nightmares, because there's some great stories of how, hey, we identified a wreck and we're able to mitigate past it. And then there are some that did not turn out so well. So maybe that's a great topic for our next podcast, to talk about the good ones and then the ones that didn't turn out so good.
Yeah, I'd be glad to share. And if any of our audience has any questions, they can always contact PPM, contact me off our website or through Todd. And I know you'll route it to the right place. And we love to talk environmental with our clients, don't we?
Man, we do. So that's a great point. You know, if you want to learn more about environmental due diligence, come to our website. You can contact us through our website, reach out to us. And as Mike said, man, we'll be very, very happy to visit with you. Well, Mike, it's been a treat. I think you've done a great job setting the table. I look forward to our follow-up topics on due diligence as the podcast goes, because it is a very complex topic, but it's something you've got to take seriously, because it can certainly have an impact to your deal and the long-term viability of a deal. So, hey, Mike, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate our listeners tuning in to PPM Simplifies. We look forward to next week, to our next topic. So until then, this is PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.